It was only 2 months after Margaret Arak-Orek had lost her right leg in a mine accident that she found herself as the representative for Uganda on a Pan-African conference for people with disabilities. The organizers had been looking for a female, English-speaking landmine survivor, and by chance she caught their attention. That was in 1998. As a mother of five, she had just come out of hospital, on wooden crutches and shaken by this latest twist of fate. Making her way to the conference in Harare, Zimbabwe, at that particular time and meeting others who had similar difficulties is something she says she will never forget.
The first word I can remember one of them telling me was, "Margaret, welcome to the club." And I laughed. I laughed, but I was having tears in my eyes. And the one telling me, "Welcome to the club," had no legs at all. He said, "Just feel free. You're among friends. You're among one of your own. We are here, we will support you."
Being among other disabled conference participants made Margaret feel understood and accepted, very much unlike back at home. There, her partner and many of her friends had turned their back on her, as they believed she bore bad luck.
They were saying, "How many were you in the vehicle? Why would it have to be you?" I said, "But I wasn't the only one." I said, "But why of all people was it you? Which means I carry bad luck with me." So they didn't want my bad luck to rub onto them.
But Margaret chose to fight. At 56 today, she works as an activist for the disabled and organizes support groups for landmine survivors. At the anti-landmine conference in Geneva that Margaret attended as a guest, Uganda has just been declared landmine free. The militant Lord's Resistant Army, who was responsible for luring the bus that Margaret was on into a mined ambush in northern Uganda, has moved on. This hasn't given Margaret back her leg, but being in contact with other landmine survivors has enabled her to live with her disability in confidence. Anti-mine activities have proven to be most effective when they involve landmine survivors on all levels of the work, says Lauren Percy of the International Campaign to Ban Landmines. This would be especially valuable when it comes to the emotional and psychological support as part of the help to the victims. But that kind of support only goes so far when, on the other hand, there are bills to pay for hospital costs, prosthetics and wheelchairs. In general, 2001 saw the highest flow of funds into anti-mine programs so far, $660 million or 506 million euros. But finances that go directly into help for the victims, according to Percy, remain something to worry about.
When we look at mine action funding, in fact, victim assistance funding has only been about 9% of total mine action funding. Mine action funding has been going up over the years, and victim assistance funding was slowly increasing as well. It's now gone down by about 30%, so it's about 6% of the total of mine action funding.
Every day, the world sees at least 11 new mine victims. Over the past year, landmines were responsible for the death or mutilation of an estimated 4,200 people. Therefore, demining activities have the highest priority among countries that have signed the Anti-Mine Convention. By joining the so-called Ottawa Convention, these countries pledge to clear their territories of mines within the next 10 years. But not all countries are going to make it in that time frame, which is why at the Geneva Conference at the beginning of this month, several have requested an extension for clearing the mines. Much understanding came for the request from Afghanistan, as its delegation was able to offer sound reasoning and a realistic plan of action. On the other hand, Angola, Zimbabwe and Cyprus failed to fully convince the conference that mine clearance is truly their top priority. Yet, they too will be granted an extension. Whenever deadlines are not met, the reasons for this may vary, says Atle Carlsen of the anti-mine organization Norwegian People's Aid.
It's everything from funding to, you know, technological challenges. They need more capacity, more people, or they are in a position where there's conflict in the country. Some countries have used, you know, climate and rain and stuff like that. So there's a range there from very, you know, legitimate causes to not so legitimate causes for not reaching their deadlines.
During the past year, 190 square kilometers, that is over 73 square miles or an area the size of the city of Stockholm, around the globe were cleared of mines. This might not sound like much, Carlsen says, but it indeed reflects a lot of cumbersome work.
Mine clearance is slow. These are people on their knees in 40 degrees, you know, prodding the earth to, you know, to find a mine. We just have to accept that, you know, it is a bit slow, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
According to current estimates, this leaves another 3,000 square kilometers, or well over 1,100 square miles, globally yet to be cleared.